I've been elected to fill in on Wednesday nights, but I'm going to give y'all a title tonight, The Lord is Great Tonight. I'll be coming out of the book of Psalms 135. I ask that you would, if you will, stand as we honor the reading of God's Word tonight. Psalms chapter 135, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure." Verse number 5, "For I know that the Lord is great." Psalmist said, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." Lord, I come to You tonight, Father, and I just want to thank You, Father, for another opportunity to stand and share Your Word, Father God. Lord, I thank You for this message You gave me, Father God. Boy, it's been good to chew on this all week, Father. Lord, I pray that You just let it be good to the people's ears tonight, Father God. I pray that it help us tonight, Father. Help us be better servants for You. Help us be better Christians for You, Father. Lord, I love You, and I do thank You, God. Help me tonight. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we see in Psalms that the psalmist, he come here and he says in verse number 3, "Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good." And I see as he rocked on there and he got to talking about how good God was, and he kept praising God. And he come on back in verse number 5 and he said, "The Lord ain't just good, the Lord is great tonight." And tonight I got to thinking about how it would do us good, church. It would do us good, Union Chapel. Hey, if we just got to thinking about how good God was, and it wouldn't be long we'd get to realizing how great He had been, He is in our life, and how great God is. And tonight I just want to look at how is God great tonight? How is God great? The first thing I see in verse number 5 is the Lord is great. He is great in His position tonight. It says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." I see that His position tonight, He is the master of His position tonight. He is the master. If you look in Matthew chapter number 19, we talked about last week that the rich young ruler, he recognized Him as a good master. He recognized Jesus as a good master. Tonight I want you to know even the lost recognize His position tonight. Even the lost recognize the position of God tonight. Even Satan knows the position of God tonight. He realizes that He is the master. He is above all. He's a God above all gods. He is the Lord of lords, King of kings. He is second to none tonight. That is His position tonight. He is master. But I see tonight in Psalms chapter number 24 and verse number 8 that He is not only the master of His position, but He is mighty in His position tonight. He is mighty. Psalms 24 and verse 8, it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty." The Lord mighty in battle. I see tonight that the Lord, He is mighty in His position. But I see tonight He is the Messiah of His position. His position is to be Messiah tonight. His position is the Messiah. The Messiah is a promised deliverer, a leader, or a Savior tonight. I want you to know if you flip through your King James Bible, you're not going to see the word Messiah. If you see it, you're not going to see it often. But Messiah also translates as the Christ. Messiah also translates as Christ, and we know that that is Jesus Christ tonight. We know that He is the Messiah. Matthew 16 and 16, Jesus come to His disciples, and He said, "Who do men say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples come to Him and said, "Some Elias and some Jeremiah and or one of the prophets." And He looked at them and He said, "But who say ye that I am?" And He looked at His disciples and He said, "But who say ye that I am?" I want you to know tonight, it won't matter what the church says who Jesus is. At the end of time, it won't matter what the church says Jesus is. It won't matter what your preacher says He is. It won't matter what your mom and daddy says He is. It won't matter what your work, what your friends, what the world says Jesus is. All that's going to matter is who is Jesus Christ to you. All that's going to matter is what is His position in your life. And He got there in Matthew 16, 16, and He asked the disciples, "Who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter looked at Him and he said, "Behold, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I want you to know that He said that You are My Messiah tonight. That's what Peter told Him. He said, "You're My Messiah." But I see tonight He's not only the Messiah in His position, but He is My King. That is His position in my life. That is His position. He is my King. He chose me tonight. He chose me in John 15 and verse 16. It says, "Ye have not chosen me." This is Jesus talking. He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." But you know tonight, it won't do me no good to choose Jesus if He didn't choose me. It wouldn't do me no good. It wouldn't do you no good to choose Jesus if He didn't choose you. But tonight, He has chose you tonight. The Apostle Paul said his position of being the King of his life, Jesus being the King of his life, that position was so great in his life that it, in Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That's what his position in his life was tonight. That's what the position of Jesus was in Paul's life. And tonight I just got to thinking on that was, what is God's position in my life? What is God's position in your life tonight? Is He mighty? Is He the Master? Is He the Messiah? And is He your King tonight? Is He your King? That's His position. And we see that that's why He's great tonight. But I see He's also great in power tonight. In Psalms, back in the text in Psalms 135, it says, "With whatsoever," verse number 6, "whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven." And He did that in earth and the seas and all deep places. It says He caused vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain, and He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. I see tonight He is great in His position, but He is great in His power tonight. It says He does whatsoever He pleased. And I was sitting down studying this, and I was trying to think of some powerful people in this world. And you got the presidents, you got all them people, and you know they got a little bit of power. But I got to thinking about somebody more on a personal level, and I'm an Alabama fan. And the first person I thought about was Nick Saban. I guarantee you Nick Saban goes anywhere in the state of Alabama, he's going to get whatever he wants. He's got, even if he goes to Auburn, somebody's going to show him enough respect to give him what he wants. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. But I got to thinking about a little article I read on Nick Saban after he retired. And he said, "I want to golf every day. That's my goal. I golf every day." And he said, "But my wife says I've got chores to do. And she says I can't go golf until them chores are done." He said, "So I get up early in the morning, I do my chores, and then I go golf." And I got to thinking about that. Even Nick Saban, his power is limited. He has to answer to somebody. He has to answer to his wife. And tonight I want you to know the Bible says that Jesus Christ, He done whatsoever He pleased. Whatever He wanted to do in heaven, that's what He done. Whatever He wanted to do in the earth, that's what He done. Whatever He wanted to do in the sea, that's what He done. Whatever He wanted to do in the deep places, that's what He done. I see tonight that His power is over whatsoever He pleases. I see tonight He has power over the weather. It says in verse number 7, He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain, and He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Tonight in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 27, you'll see that the disciples there, they were in the ship, and Jesus was asleep, and a storm arose up, and the storm, it got raging in their life. And just as it does in our life, things get to going haywire, and things get to raging. And Jesus was just sound asleep, and the disciples, they were hollering at Him, saying, "Get up, get up. Do you not know that we perish? Do you not know that there's a storm going on, and we're about to die?" And Jesus just got up, and He spoke to the storm, "Just be peace, be still." In verse 27, it says, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" I see tonight He has power over the weather. He has power over the waves tonight. In Psalms chapter number 65 and verse 6 and 7. Psalms chapter 65 and verse 6, it says, "Which by His strength He set fast the mountains, being girded with power." I see His power, it settled the mountains. It settleth the mountains. Verse 7, it said, "Which stilleth the noise of the seas and the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people." See tonight, He has power over the weather. He has power over the waves. But in verses 8 through 12 in the text, I see that He has power over the ways of this world. Tonight, in verse number 8, it said, "Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast? Who sent tokens and wonders to the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all his servants? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage and a heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. I say tonight that he has power over the ways of this world. I want you to know tonight, Jesus Christ, he cannot be belittled. He cannot be bought. He cannot be kept down. He cannot be killed tonight. I want you to know tonight that he can do a lot of things, but he cannot be bought. He cannot be killed. He cannot be brought down. He cannot be anything. And I guarantee you tonight, he cannot lose. He cannot lose tonight. In John chapter number 6, John 6 and verse 38. I'll lose my mark if I take that out. John 6 and verse number 38. It says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Verse 39, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." That's Jesus speaking. He said, "I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day." I want you to know tonight, Jesus Christ is so powerful, he can't lose nothing. And I guarantee you, if you gave him his soul, if you gave him your soul tonight, he can't lose that either. I want you to know tonight that he has power over the ways of this world. He can't be belittled. He can't be bought. He can't lose tonight. But I see in verse number 13 that he has power over the waves, over the weather, over whatsoever he pleases, over the ways of this world, and his power will last forever. In verse 13 it says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." If you read on down in Psalms 136, in every single verse in that text it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." I see tonight that he is great in his position. He is great in his power. But I see tonight he's also great in his purpose. In verse number 14 it says, "For the Lord will judge his people." There's coming a day where God's purpose is going to be to judge. God will be to judge. And well, I got thinking about the purpose of Jesus. The purpose of Jesus, it said, "For the Lord will judge his people. And he will repent himself concerning his servants." I see tonight that Jesus' purpose was to have compassion on us. God had compassion on us, so he sent Jesus. That was his purpose, was to have compassion. Lamentations 3, verse 22. Lamentations 3, 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not." Psalms 145 and verse number 8. I think Brother Riley hit on this Sunday morning. It says, "The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." I see tonight that he has compassion. His purpose is to have compassion on us. But Jesus' purpose was to carry the cross for us. His compassion on us led him to carry the cross for us. And you say, "Well, that wasn't his purpose." No, that was his purpose. That was the only reason he had to come. There was no other way. The cross was his purpose for us. Matthew chapter number 26 and verses 53. You say, we get taught, we get called up so many times, and we still do today, man. They wanted Jesus to heal folks, and they wanted him to heal the sick, and they wanted him to heal everything they had going on that was ailing them. And we do the same thing, but they wasn't worried about their souls. They wasn't worried about people coming to know him. They wasn't worried about growing closer with God. And today, we bring prayer request after prayer request after prayer request, asking God to heal a body, asking God to take sickness away, asking God to do all these things, and we forget his purpose. In Psalms 26, 53, this is when they come to take Jesus and one of his disciples, and it says here just a man, but in another text it says that it was Simon Peter, took a sword and cut the servant's ear off, and Jesus told him to stand down. And here's where we're at in verse 53. It says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he should presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" 12 legions of angels. Verse 54 here is his purpose. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. That was his purpose tonight. He knew that was his purpose. He knew he had to go to the cross. But his purpose to go to the cross for us was so he could carry us. That was his purpose tonight. The book of Luke says that there is a great gulf that separates us. It separates heaven. It separates heaven from hell. It separates heaven from this earth. That great gulf. And there's no way across that gulf. There's no plane can take you there. There's no rocket can take you there. There's nothing. There's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6. His purpose is to carry us. John 14 and verse 6. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, I got to thinking this week. I kind of shared it in Sunday school Sunday morning that I don't care who you are or what you've done. The only way you're going to make it through to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. The only way, Brother BJ, you're going to get through heaven, just not because you're a good preacher. Because you went through the blood. If I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to have to go through the blood. Only if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to follow in Billy Graham's footsteps, and it's through the blood. And we all going to walk through the same gate if you're going to go to heaven. It's not about what you've done. If what you've done got you to heaven, you could brag when you got there. But every single person who has a place in heaven will go through the blood. Nothing you've done is going to be good enough to get you there. Nothing you've done good enough to keep you there. It's only the blood of Jesus tonight. That is his purpose, was to carry us tonight. But I see tonight that he is great in his purpose. He's great in his position. He's great in power. But tonight he is greatly to be praised. He's greatly to be praised tonight. Now, verse number 1 starts out there and it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him. That's a lot of praise in one verse there. And it goes on down in verse number 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. And you come on down in verse number 19. It says, bless the Lord, or praise the Lord. And then it says, O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. And praise ye the Lord. I want you to know tonight he is greatly to be praised. Tonight I want to look at how can we praise the Lord? How can we praise the Lord? Tonight, Psalms 119 says that thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The only way I can praise the Lord is by being in the word. That's the first thing. I've got to be in the word. You can listen to Christian music all you want to. You can sing Christian music all you want to. You can wear the Christian outfits. You can go to church. You can be on the mission trips. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you're not in the Word, your praise will not be where it needs to be. Your praise will not be there. And you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. If you're not in the Word, you're not with God. And your praise will not be where it needs to be. Tonight, I see tonight that we can praise the Lord by being in the Word. Hiding that Word in your heart. But we praise Him by our walk. By our walk tonight. Psalms chapter number 1 and verse number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I see tonight that my walk, where I go, what I do, that is my praise to the Lord. If I'm walking in trash, then my praise is trash. If I'm walking in sin, then my praise is sin. It's simple. It's not good. I want you to know tonight that Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Tonight, if you're walking with the ungodly, your praise will be ungodly. It won't be to God tonight. I see tonight that we can praise the Lord by being in His Word. We can praise the Lord by our walk. In verse 16, Proverbs 16 and verse number 7, where your praise is at. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I want you to know he cares about your walk tonight. He cares about the things you do, and he cares about your praise tonight. But I see tonight we worship him with our, by being in the Word. We worship him with our walk, but we worship him, we praise him with our worship. You say, well, praise is worship. Let me show you what worship is tonight. Matthew 15 and verse 8. It says, the people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. I see tonight that our worship, number one, it falls under my dress. The way I dress is my worship. I can't worship God the way I'm supposed to worship. My praise won't be where the way it's supposed to be if I've got Bud Light tattooed all over my shirt. If I've got Old Row shirts on every day of my life. Hey, I don't know what Old Row is, but I know it's a party theme. It's something to do with that. What I dress in must praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If you're a woman and you're dressing as a man, your praise will not be worship to God. If you're a man dressing as a woman, your praise will not be worship to God. I see tonight that our worship is our dress, but our worship is in our doings tonight. The things we do. Boy, and this one hit me this week, and I've sat down and I've thought about it, and just under conviction, man. The things I do sometimes, they just ain't great. Worshiping with our doings tonight. I want y'all to get this. Brother BJ said one time, I think it was on a mission trip, that when I'm preaching, it's like trying to get a drink out of a fire hydrant. And I want to slow down. I want y'all to get this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's flip on over. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And boy, I got to thinking about that this week, how my doings, and my body is the temple. And as I was sitting down, I was trying to write this out, and the Lord just started laying it on me. If every time you walked through them back doors, you had to walk through cigarette smoke, this message is about to go downhill in a hurry. It's about to go from thumbs up to thumbs down. If every time you walked through the back doors of your church, if you had to walk through cigarette smoke, how many, would it be nice? Would it be pleasing? No. I can get on this one because I've done it. If every time I had to walk through them back doors, I had to walk through just mounds of tobacco spit, dip spit all in the floor, and I had to walk through that and trample it into the sanctuary, would that be pleasing? Would that be a good place to go? No. It's my doings, and it's my body. The things I put into my body is the temple of God. And if I'm smoking a cigarette, the Holy Ghost is inside of me, and I'm just clouding up His sanctuary. If I'm putting dip in my lip, I'm just dirtying up the sanctuary for the Holy Ghost. If I'm tatting my body up, getting tattoos, He said, it's not mine to tat up. It's not mine to mark up. I did not want to bring this. But it says at the bottom of verse 19, and ye are not your own. You say, well, it's Christian tattoos. It says, ye are not your own. It's not your body to mark up. It's not my body to mark up. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid a lot for my body. He paid a lot for my soul. I heard a story one time. I seen it on Facebook, so you know it's got to be true. But it was two preachers. Talking about two preachers. And it called their names. That's why I think it might have been true. But we're going to leave their names out. Number one, because I can't remember them. And number two, it may not be true. But the two preachers, they were standing there, said one of them was a heavier set guy, and the other guy, he liked to smoke a cigarette every evening. That's what he liked to do. He liked to eat supper. He'd have his Bible study, and he'd go out on the front porch, and he'd sit in his rocking chair, and he'd smoke a cigarette just to wind his day down. And said that heavy set preacher, he got up, and boy, he got to preaching. And he got in on the subject of smoking, and he got in on the subject of tobacco, and he got in on how that was a sin. And said that other preacher stood up and said, "I'll lay my cigarette down when you lay your fork down." And I want you to know tonight, the church don't like that kind of preaching. The church don't like that. He said, "I'll lay my cigarettes down when you lay your fork down." I want you to know tonight, if I walk through the door and, man, I am bad about this. I'll sit down on the couch every night, and I get a big old bag of chips, a whole tub of ranch dip, and pour me a Sam's Cola over ice. And I sit down, and boy, God got talking about, boy, I got studying this last night, and he said, "You're still defiling. You're still defiling it." Man, we fill our bodies with so much junk, and I'm not no health freak. I'm not trying to get on no health kick tonight. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. He said, "Your body is my temple, and you're filling it with junk. You're filling it with junk." And I got to thinking about how if every time I walked through them doors, I was kicking peanut butter cream pie wrappers around. Every time I come through the back door, man, it's dirtying up the sanctuary. It's dirtying up our worship. It's dirtying up our dress. It's dirtying up our doings. But I see tonight that our worship tonight, it is dedication. What you're dedicated to, that's what you worship tonight. Tonight, what you're dedicated to is your worship. Psalms chapter number 19 and verse 14. We're almost done. Psalms 19 and verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Tonight, I want you to know that if you're going to worship God, if you're going to praise God the way you want, the way He deserves, number one, we got to praise Him by being in the Word. We got to praise Him by walking the walk that's pleasing to Him, and we got to praise Him with our worship. We got to praise Him with the things we're dedicated to. I want you to know tonight, whatever you're dedicated to, that's what your mind thinks on 24/7. If you're dedicated to hunting, you think on hunting 24/7. If you're dedicated to fishing, you think on fishing 24/7. I want my mind to be meditated on Jesus Christ. I want to be meditating on how great He's been in my life. I want to meditate tonight on how good He's been. And not even how good, I want to meditate on how great He's been in my life. I want to meditate on His power. I want to meditate on His position in my life. I want to meditate on His purpose. And tonight, I just want to ask you, what is it that you're dedicated to? What are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to Jesus Christ? Are you dedicated to what He's done for you? And tonight, I've had a lot put on me here lately. And, nothing of just stuff I take on my own. I mean, just stuff I put on myself. And the Lord's told me this week, He said, "Don't defile your body. Don't defile your body. Don't defile it." You think it's okay, but it's not. Don't defile it. That's your worship. It's a place where the Holy Ghost resides inside of you. You see, the people that followed Christ, Peter, all the disciples, man, He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Just follow me. Well, all they was doing was following a man who said He was the way, who said He was the truth, who said He was the life. Well, we always want to compare ourselves to them. We want to compare ourselves to Peter. We want to compare ourselves to them because they messed up too. They messed up too. Man, they were screw-ups. They messed up. I can mess up. But I want you to know it says when Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, "I'm sending the Holy Ghost now." And that Holy Ghost, it don't reside out in the air. That Holy Ghost, it don't reside just anywhere. He resides in your heart. He resides in my heart, and my body is the temple. My body is where He resides, and I don't want to dirty that up. I don't want to dirty that up. Tonight I ask you, what are you dedicated to? Tonight He has been better than good to you. Tonight your dedications will change if you think on how great He is. Tonight I love you, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for saving my soul. Lord, I thank you so much for these carpenters that's coming to hang sheetrock, Father. Lord, I pray that you pour out a double portion of blessings on them, Father God. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Everything they touch, everything they do, I pray that you bless it, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, if somebody's lost in this place, Father God, don't know how great you are, Father. Lord, they've heard about it, Father God. They've seen you. Lord, I seen tonight in the text that even lost folks recognize who you are. They recognize your position. But the lost folks ain't dedicated to you. Lord, I pray tonight that Union Chapel would be dedicated to following Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that our bodies would be dedicated to serving you. Lord, I pray tonight that our buildings, they'd be dedicated to serving you. Lord, I pray tonight, Father God, you just move in a mighty way. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for just helping me tonight. Lord, I thank you for walking with me. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.